Mr. Graff, a German bricklayer whose rather imposing three-story brick house stood on a field, now unrecognizable, as the southwest corner of 7th and Market Streets in Philadelphia, was, on the whole, satisfied with his new lodger. He paid his 35 shillings promptly every week. He had apparently no riotous habits. He was gracious and aloof, as befits a Virginia gentleman. So one should not protest, I suppose, if occasionally he played his violin up there in his room. You take the good with the bad, and this Mr. Jefferson, on the whole, was quite satisfactory. Yes, Thomas Jefferson was quite satisfactory by all accounts. Tall, slim, almost to gauntness, he was 33 now, a successful lawyer, lately married and become the owner of a large plantation near Charlottesville. Monticello, he called it. A huge, rambling place famed in Northern Virginia, principally because of a device constructed by the owner, whereby wine could be hauled up from the cellar on a moving chain. He was a man of many affairs, and it was no frivolous thing that brought him this warm spring to Philadelphia. It had taken him 7 days to ride over from Charlottesville, rather a fast trip considering the mountains and the rambling roads that joined the two places. With a precision that was to mark his writing and his thinking, he noted in a small black book the expenses incurred. A dollar for an evening's meal, a shilling's worth of beer. With rare indulgence, he paid another shilling to see a captive monkey. Strange he should be so meticulous about a shilling or so. He was playing for higher stakes.
Resolved that these United Colonies are, and of a right ought to be, free and independent states.
This is Richard Henry Lee, also of Virginia. He's speaking before the Continental Congress in the little brick courthouse lately renamed the State House.
And that all political connection between them and the state of Britain is and ought to be totally resolved. That it is expedient forthwith to take the most effectual measures for forming foreign alliances. That a plan of confederation be prepared and transmitted to the respective colonies for their consideration and approbation.
I second the motion.
That was John Adams. Treason, openly spoken and openly seconded. In a back row, Mr. Jefferson ponders deeply. Is it treason, or is there a higher law? Almost a month went by before the resolution was voted on. July 2nd it was. The time for words, they said, is done. They were wrong. There was a need for words now as never before. Strong, clear words to tell the world what we were about. And what was it Lee had said? That these colonies are, and of a right ought to be, free and independent states. That's the phrase, but there needs to be more. Would Mr. Jefferson take these ideas and resolutions and construct a statement, a declaration of our independence? He would. Back in his study, he began to write. Bold words they were, and proud. This was no furtive thing we were doing. It was born in sunlight, conceived by men of honor. There was nothing there of shame or deceit. The early thinkers, they were there. Locke, Milton. John Milton, blind but seeing with an awful vision. Galileo, and the voices from the dungeon. This nameless thing, chained in darkness and companion to creeping things, he helped to write this document. His hand is there.
All I said was that there was a higher authority than the king. That God is above all, even the throne. They asked me to deny it. Thrice they asked me, and thrice I answered not. I am here.
They crowd behind you, Mr. Jefferson, as you write, impatient after all the centuries. dip into the ink pot. It's almost done now. One final sentence, a compact. You and the others pledge your lives, your fortunes, and your sacred honor. It's done. And suddenly, you are alone. Put the quill back in its appointed place in accord with your habits of precision. Rest a moment, if you wish, and close your eyes. Milton, Locke, the old ones. They have waited long, but it is done. One final piece of business before the end. Old Dr. Franklin, he was an editor, you know, has a craftsman's way with words. Perhaps it would be well if he were to look it over. He may have changes to suggest. The old doctor has been ill this week, but he'll find time for this assignment, as he has for all the others. Pull the bell on the big front door of that lovely house on Chestnut Street. State your errand. Be admitted to the musty old study where the doctor awaits you. With an almost painful slowness, Franklin puts on his spectacles, picks up your manuscript, and reads.
When, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for a people. Now, let's change that to for one people. Causes which impel them to threaten separation. Causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be sacred and undeniable. I think better, we hold these truths to be self-evident.
11 changes he made altogether, small changes, seldom more than one or two words. Then he smiles and takes off the spectacles.
Yes, Mr. Jefferson, you have done us all a splendid service. So such things should be. It is here now for all to read. I am sure the Congress will accept this Declaration of our Independence. And now may I impose upon your kindness and ask you to read it to me again, please. Thank you. Thank you. You're very kind. Yes, you sit by the lamp, and I shall sit here by the window. The breeze has come up with the setting sun. Had you noticed? I find of late that such things... Well, no matter. It is as gentle as a benediction. Are you comfortable? You will indulge an old man if I nod occasionally. I shall not be sleeping, I assure you. Fine words. Brave words. And now, sir, if you will, from the beginning.
When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish them, and to institute new government.
Father and I went down to camp along with Captain Gooden. And there we saw the men and boys as thick as tasty pudding. Yankee Doodle, keep it up, Yankee Doodle Dandy. Find the music and the step and with a trophy handy. There was Captain Washington upon a slapping stallion, giving orders to his men, I guess there were a million. Yankee Doodle, keep it up, Yankee Doodle Dandy, find the music and the stand.